Well, good morning. Good morning, Church of the Valley. It's good to be back here in the high desert. And thank you for letting me back in. You know, my family and I, we had a wonderful 2 weeks. We're up at a Christian camp called Mount Hermon, not in Israel, but one up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. The setting is in the Redwoods, and it was a great time for us to hear some speakers and just get refreshed, connect with old friends. And we're there a couple weeks. It was fun. You know, they have a train there that you can take a train, and the beach, Santa Cruz Beach, is not too far, and you can jump on this train and go down to the Santa Cruz boardwalk. And so that was fun, spend some time on the beach. And you know, my daughter's getting into surfing, and so we got to do a little bit of surfing. And let me tell you, she caught the biggest wave, and she was so pumped. This sucker was over her head, and I kind of pushed her into it. I don't know, Dad. I pushed her into it. She said, "Dad, I was so scared. The wave was curling right at the back of my head, but I did it. I made it." So she was pumped. So we had a good time. But you know what? It's always good to come back to a church where it feels like family. Super fun. So it's good to be back. Now, you're noticing I'm wearing something different than what I normally wear on a Sunday. That is because we are rolling out for you a new mission, vision, and value statement. In fact, on the back of these shirts, it has your mission, vision, value, or mission statement. You know, I'm looking at our PowerPoint. It looks kind of messed up, but you know, whatever. We'll deal with that later. But yeah, it's got our mission statement on the back. And so, you know, as I said earlier, they handed me the shirt and said to wear it. I was like, I hope you are not hanging me high and dry on that one. But of course you're not. So, speaking of mission statements, you know, I've always loved good mission statements. And so, you know, businesses will have mission statements. You know, a lot of times if you go into a fast food restaurant or something, sometimes you'll see a mission statement kind of posted up on the side of a wall in a placard. Some will have them, you know, across the wall or something like that. But businesses will come up with mission statements to keep them focused. It answers the question, what are we doing? You know, what is our purpose? And it helps them keep them laser focused on what they're doing. So what I did is I went and I've done a little bit of research, and I found some mission statements of some businesses that you might have heard of. Go ahead and pull up the first one. Hopefully our PowerPoint's there. Okay. This business, this is their mission statement. It says, "Our mission is to create a better everyday life for the many people." Okay. To create a better everyday life. You know what that tells me? Whatever product that they are producing, it's got to be practical. Okay? You got to be able to be able to use it. And this is for the many people, which tells me it's got to be affordable because not everybody has a big budget. You know what business this is? A lot of you have probably shopped there. Go to the next slide. How many love shopping at IKEA? I will say one thing. It is simple. Usually the instructions are only like 3 steps. You know, so it's very practical, but at the same time, it's very affordable. It's not like you're going to Williams-Sonoma, right? You can actually afford this one, right? Here's another mission statement I found. This one says, "Our mission is to bring inspiration and innovation to every athlete in the world." Okay, so there's a key term in there that kind of narrows the focus on what they're doing and who their clientele is. And what is that term? It's the athlete. Right? Guess who this is? Go ahead. Go to the next one. Nike. You know, some people in the first service from the older generation actually knew who that was. I was like, whoa, no way. Yeah, it's Nike. You know, I have yet to see a pair of work boots with the Nike swoosh on them. Have you? Is anybody? They don't create shoes for a construction worker because their target is the athlete. Here's a few more. These are probably more like the reality of the business rather than what the actual aspiration. But this one says, "Our mission is to talk about sports and do just enough work to keep from getting fired." If I was a boss and that was our mission statement, I think we'd be in trouble. Ah, good one. Or this one. Here's this next one. "Our mission is to make it to the weekend." You know, if you're running a company and that is your mission and that's what you're employing, you're in trouble. Yeah, I'm just trying to make it to Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Our mission is, oh wait, why are we doing this? You know, some people, you know, some businesses, they just don't know. They don't know. They don't know what they're doing. You know, and you know, I've been talking a lot about businesses, but you know, the same is true for churches. Why are we doing what we're doing? What is our mission? What are we called to do? You know, a lot of people come to church, and this is just reality. A lot of people come to church because they just love the pastor. You know, we love the preacher. You know, he preaches well, or maybe he relates to people very well. And we just like the pastor. You know, but as soon as that pastor leaves, so do they. And that church begins to dwindle because that's why they come to church. They like the pastor. You know, so some people come to church because they like the place. You know, they love the buildings. They love the sanctuary. You know, some people have their sacred cows. They have a certain communion table or they have certain things up, certain paints on the wall, and they just love it about it. You know, but as soon as you change the color of the carpet, that's it. I'm out. I'm gone. You know, because they love the place. They love the place. Some people, and this is a big one. This is a big one. Some people come to the church just because of their programs or a certain ministry that they like. And that's why they come to church. You know, I was with the, you know, church a while back, and they had it. Remember the Awana programs way back in the day? Awana's, it was a great ministry, great ministry. But that church decided that God was calling them in a different direction. And so they dropped the Awana program. And guess what? They lost probably about 20% of that church and went off somewhere else. Because how dare you take away my ministry? Because that's why they came to church. Just for the ministry, just for the programs. You know, and then some people come to church just for the people. Just simply for, they have a certain group of friends that they meet up with every time. And you know, people's important, fellowship is important, but that's the only reason why they come to church. And as soon as their friends move on, and as soon as those certain people move on, they move on. And that's, I guess that's their mission. That's how it is. You know, folks, churches, listen, churches can't survive without a mission. They can't. It's what brings unity and it brings focus. It's essentially keeping the main thing the main thing. That's what mission does. So the question is, what is the mission? What is the mission? So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at verses 18 to 20. Okay, now for you with your, you serious Bible scholars with your big old study Bibles, go ahead and flip there, and you might see a heading there that says something like the Great Commission. The Great Commission. That's where we're going to be at this morning, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I'm excited for Church of the Valley because from this passage, we are going to simplify and define your mission as a church. You know, you guys have had a mission before. How many knew what it was? Yeah, I don't see any hands, right? So we want to generate a mission that is very simple for you to understand. Because this is my prayer that this mission becomes ingrained into all your minds, all right? It's only four words. It's only four words. And so that as you move on into where God is leading you, that you stay focused on what the mission is here at Church of the Valley. Because God is leading you somewhere. And it's my prayer that you always keep the main thing the main thing, and that you become a mission-focused church that doesn't allow people, that doesn't allow ministries, that doesn't allow programs or anything else get in the way of what your mission is, what you are called to do. Okay, so let's get into our text here in Matthew 28. Okay, this is the mission that Jesus gave his church. You know, one of the tenets of our faith is that after Jesus died this horrific death on the cross, where he paid the penalty for our sin, he took our place on that cross. After he died, he was dead for what, 3 days, and then he what? He rose from the grave, right? And he made himself available to about 500 different witnesses, and time had gone on, and then he takes the 11 disciples, because Judas is gone, right? He flew the coop. 11 disciples, he takes them up onto the mountaintop, and these are the instructions that he gives them. as he builds his church. Okay? Verse 18 says this. It says, then Jesus came to them. He's talking to the 11 disciples. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, from this commission that Jesus has given, we are going to build a two-part mission statement for Church of the Valley. And again, hopefully this will be simple enough that you can remember it and it will be ingrained into your mind as you move forward. So, first part of the mission, you can fill this in your notes, is that Church of the Valley will be all about declaring Christ. Declaring Christ. That's the first half of the mission. Church of the Valley will be all about declaring Christ. Now, you can cheat. Look at the back of the church. You guys, cheaters. You can see it up there. Fill that in, declaring Christ. Now, back to our text. Notice in verse 18 what Jesus told his disciples. He says this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, let me highlight something for you. Do you notice it says all authority in heaven and on earth? All authority. Okay? You think of an earthly king, even throughout history, right? He had authority over just his realm. And that had limitations. You think of the president of the United States, right? What is his realm? Where does his authority go? From sea to shining sea, right? That's it. That's all. You know, this is all authority in heaven and on earth, folks. That's the authority over all the earth, over all the heavens. All of that authority has been given to Jesus from the Father. God has given it to him. And based on that authority that's given to him, he says, therefore, okay, based on that authority, what does he say? Go. Go and make disciples. Folks, that's what some people might call evangelism. It's outward focus. It's reaching out. It's making disciples of all nations. And Jesus said, "What? Don't just sit there. Go. Go." Now, to a Jewish Christian in the early century reading this, you know, mind you, let me say this. Matthew is written with a Jewish audience in mind. And so for a Jewish Christian reading this letter and reading this commission, this is a bit uncomfortable to go. It's a bit awkward. Because to a Jew who's been raised up in Judaism, all the nations were to come to Israel. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 2, Jerusalem is to be lifted up as the chief mountain, and all the nations will come to Jerusalem so that they may know the ways of the Lord. Right? Even in Ezekiel chapter 5, there's a reason why God gave Israel the land that they had, because it was a center hub where all these other nations would have to pass through Israel to get to where they need to be. Because God wanted Israel to be permanent. God wanted all to come to him. And so for the Jew, it did not. Evangelism wasn't reaching outward. People were supposed to come in. And so now Jesus, in the age of the church, says something different. He says, now you're going to go. You're going to go outward. And that might be a bit uncomfortable. A little bit awkward. But he says, go and do it. So that's the first part of the mission at Church of the Valley. It's all about getting out, even if you feel uncomfortable. It's getting out and it's declaring Christ. Sharing the good news. Sharing the gospel. You know, one of the things I love here about Church of the Valley is there are so many ministries that already do this. You know, I look at your crisis ministry. You know, and I know Yolanda heads up that team, and that whole team, they just have a passion for those in the community. They reach out, they feed the poor, they help them. They help them find jobs. There's so many things that they do, but it's reaching out into the community, sharing the love of Christ. You know, you have a rummage ministry here. Again, it's reaching out in the community. You have, and I mean, there's so many other ministries that you have here that reach out in the community, and that's a good thing. You know, one of the things that I get passionate about is there's another strategy of reaching out and declaring Christ. It's this, and it's in your notes. It's called relational evangelism. And I think I've said this many times as I've spoke with you all, but relational evangelism, and it's this. It's all about influencing your relational world for Christ by engaging the people God has strategically and supernaturally placed in your life. Okay? Influencing your relational world, you know, those different contexts that you have, whether it be at your job or in your neighborhood or maybe the grocer you rub shoulders with every day, people you see constantly in those different contexts, you're influencing them for Christ. God has brought supernaturally and strategically those people into your world so that you can influence them towards Christ, so you could share the love of Christ. That's called relational evangelism. You know, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I bet most of you came to church for the first time because a family member, a friend, or a coworker invited you. I bet you most of you, somebody invited you to the church whom you knew. Right? Or maybe you've grown up in the church. It was your parents. Again, a family person who has brought you into the church. You know, statistically speaking, for most churches, okay, this is just the stats on it. For most churches, anywhere between 75 to 90% of the people they baptize came to church because a friend, a relative, a coworker, or a neighbor invited them. Someone whom they knew personally, who they rubbed shoulders with. That's why they came to church. You know, and if you think about it, in the New Testament, John the Baptist introduced Andrew to John. You know, or John the Baptist introduced Andrew and John to Jesus. That's John chapter 1. You know, then Andrew got Peter. John got James. Philip found Nathaniel. And, of course, there's Cornelius and his household. There's Lydia and her household. Then, of course, there's all the house churches and the epistles and the letters. The point is that Christianity spread along pre-existing social networks. People in your relational worlds. That's how Christianity began to grow in the early years. People they knew. You know, even Jesus is commissioned in Acts chapter 1. You know, you're to be my witnesses, you know, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice where he starts with. He starts with Jerusalem. And mind you, in the early part of Acts, he's talking about Jewish Christians. Right? People they know. He says, start with your kin. Start with your family members. Start with them. Go to them to share the gospel. That's Jesus' commission in Acts. So declaring Christ isn't just done on a street corner. It's done with those in your world whom God has placed. And you share the love of Christ with them. You invite them to church. So the mission at Church of the Valley is all about declaring Christ. That's the first part of your mission. But once they become a part of the family, they put their faith and trust in Jesus. Right? Then it's all about number two. Fill this in. It's all about building believers. Right? Declaring Christ, building believers. You can think of it this way. Declaring Christ is all about evangelism. Right? It looks outward. Now, when it comes to building believers, we look at what's called sanctification, which is another 50-cent theological word. Sanctification, where it's participating with the Holy Spirit in the believer's growth, right? And that happens inside the church. After Jesus gives the imperative to make disciples, notice the participle. If you got your text there, notice the participle, baptizing them. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the, When you talk about the line between evangelism and baptism, you know, if you ever think about, well, where do I stop evangelizing somebody and where do I start building them up? You know what the line here, and I'm just reading it out of the text, you know what the line is? It's baptism. So he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Now, some of you guys might be thinking, well, are you talking water baptism or spiritual baptism? I ain't going to get into that. I'm just going to say yes. Because the text doesn't define any of that. It's just yes. You know, there's a part of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit baptizes us in a spiritual way, but there's a visible expression of that in water baptism. And so when it comes to baptism, a facet of baptism is you're being baptized into the community of believers. Folks, that's where discipleship happens. You know, it doesn't happen with you by yourself and your Bible up on a mountaintop. It happens. There's a reason why God saves you and plops you into a church so that you can be built up. You're discipling each other. Right? And that happens in the context of the church. And that's the line between evangelism and sanctification. It's baptizing them into the community. But once they're in, notice what Jesus says in verse 20. He says, you're teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's what he's telling these apostles, these disciples. You're teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So the mission is not only declaring Christ, that's only half of it. It's also about building believers. You're pushing them towards maturity. Now, here at Church of the Valley, what a mature disciple looks like will be hammered out in this strategy and what that means. But for now, you're building them up. You're not only declaring Christ, but you're building them up into a fully functioning, reproducing disciple. One that'll go out and gather more disciples. That's what you're all about. That's what you're doing as a church. That's your mission. Now, before you can do that and set out and take off on your mission, you've got to define who you are as a church. This is your identity. You're the DNA of this church. Who are you? You know, every single church, and I'm talking visible local church, has a unique DNA. You go visit these different ones, you'll notice that it might be just a tad bit different, right? So the question is, what are those core beliefs or core values that drive your church towards the mission? Right, kind of like the engine in a car. You know, I love these values that your leadership have defined because, you know, when I look out at this church, they're already here. You might just not know what you value. But here we're going to articulate them and put them in the words. And I love it because they define who you are. It's like the DNA of your church. So what are those things that you really value? Okay, I think you have an insert. Most of you should have an insert. And they're on there. So again, yes, you can cheat and fill them in your notes. But let's go through them. One core value is this. Authoritative teaching. I love it. You guys value authoritative teaching. And it's stated like this. This is what you confirm as a congregation. We believe the Bible is God's authoritative revelation of himself to us and is essential for the growth of the believer. I love it. You know, folks, this is God's word, right? And according to 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. You know what that means? These are the very words of God, which means that they carry authority with them because God spoke them. So they have authority. What that means for Church of the Valley is that everything that you do that is founded on God's Word is deeply theological. Everything that Church of the Valley does, it's deeply theological. All your ministries, every one of them are rooted on Scripture, are rooted and founded on God's Word. And that's a beautiful thing. Which, of course, to the same verse there, is essential for the training up in righteousness. Again, it's the building up of believers. That's what God's Word does. It grows up the believer. Another value is this, authentic worship. I love this one. You guys value authentic worship, which stayed like this. We believe that corporate worship should be relevant and reflect the greatness of our God. Now, one of the other things I love about Church of the Valley is that you have two different services. I don't know if some of you have never been to the first service. If you go to that first service, it's going to feel different. Right? You're going to be singing hymns. I grew up on hymns. I love hymns. You know, I'd sing them all the time. But you're going to have hymns there. There's going to be a lot of liturgy. there at that first service. And some people, that's how they worship God. It's the orienting your heart towards God. And that's what it does. And it's beautiful because you can go there and worship that way. That's one form of worship. But then you can come to your second service, right? And it's another form of worship. It's more contemporary. It's a beautiful thing. You could both, you know, both services worship and extol the greatness of our God. And it's authentic. Different forms, same function. Different forms, same function. That's something, another thing you value, authentic worship. Another value is this, so keep going. Meaningful relationships. Something you guys value. Meaningful relationships. We believe that relationships are authentic when they are held in the context of grace. Accepting each other no matter how imperfect. You know, one of the things that I see that this church really values here is the bonds that this church has with each other. You know, you show up here, it really does feel like a family. It really does, because of the love that you have for each other. It's meaningful, and it's all held in the context of grace. That no matter who you are, no matter what your past is, no matter what you've done, you will be loved if you come here, brother or sister. You will be, because you guys value meaningful relationships. Again, that's how you grow as a believer. You've got to make connections with other believers. And so you value meaningful relationships. Next value is this, reaching the lost. I love this one, reaching the lost. We believe that the gospel is for everyone, including those who our society considers outcasts and misfits. I love it. You know, I think your crisis ministry really reflects that. You know, you feed the poor, you help the down and out, you share the love with Christ, even with those who are falling on hard times, who our society might consider outcasts. You love on them and you share the gospel with them. You're reaching the lost. You know, and this whole value, I'd love it to see permeate again into your relational worlds. Even that family member that's kind of awkward, that I hate it whenever we show up on family gatherings. I hate it when they show up. You know what? They need Jesus. They need the love of Christ. Even that difficult coworker that you have to rub shoulders with every day, they need the love of Christ. So that's something that you value. You reach the lost, even in your relational worlds. And lastly, excellence in ministry. You guys value excellence in ministry. We believe that our ministry, programs, materials, and personal service should reflect the infinite excellence of the God we serve and therefore be of the highest quality. Ooh, I like that one. Hey, I'm excited because this fall we're going to start a new series in the book of Genesis. Just giving you a heads up. It's a big, hefty book. I think it's like 50 chapters. I encourage you to start reading on it because that's what we'll be in next year. But Genesis chapter 1. Remember Genesis chapter 1? God creates, right? And, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes into the different days he creates. Does anybody remember the phrase that God says at the end of each day? He says, and it was good. God created an excellence, right? He created what was good. And we image, remember, he makes him human, mankind in his image. We reflect his image. As many creators, we create things, we do things as God has done. But God did it with excellence, and we want to reflect that in everything that we do. In fact, in Exodus, when God had called them to build the tabernacle, he called for skilled laborers, that the Spirit would move, you know, skilled laborers, and put together this tabernacle. And it was a beautiful looking tabernacle. Exodus will describe, the description of it is amazing, right? But it was done with skill. So it reflects the excellence of our God. So at Church of Valley, your ministries will reflect that. The excellence of your Creator. And I love it. Excellence in ministry. Folks, these are your constant, your passionate, and your biblical core beliefs that will drive your ministry towards your mission. Kind of like the engine in a vehicle. And so I'm excited for this mission that you've chosen to articulate for your church. You know, it shows that you are taking Jesus' commission seriously. When he tells you to go make disciples, you're taking it seriously. His commission is your mission. You see, again, too many churches get so sidetracked on so many other things. A particular ministry, or particular people, or a particular pastor, they can get sidetracked on that. And they can get so sidetracked that they lose focus. And eventually they lose unity, and things begin to crumble. But I think this mission statement, declaring Christ, building believers, should help prevent that. You're a mission-focused church, right? Not a ministry-focused church, but a mission-focused church. You're mission-centered, and you're not distracted by anything else, because that is what Christ has called you to do. So now that we have our mission, and now that we have our values, let's look towards the future for Church of the Valley. And as we do that, I think a takeaway from this passage is this, number three. Remember Jesus' promise as you move forward. And remember Jesus' promise as you move forward. You know, this is not an impossible task. You'll notice the topic or the title for the sermon is Mission Impossible. Folks, it's not an impossible task. It is actually possible to set out on this mission. How? Because Jesus ends his commission with this promise. You know, after he says, go make disciples, he says this, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm with you. You know, I'm hearing a bit of a promise there, right? I'm hearing Jesus telling me a promise that you could actually take to the bank, that he is going to be with you. He's going to be, you know, lockstep right with you. As you seek out to fulfill this mission, he's right there. You see, you're not a church. And listen to me on this. You're not a church that simply reminisces about the good old days. I've been to too many churches that were at one time super successful, and God was doing such a work in that church. But God decided to take them another direction. And it was a struggle because, oh man, back in the day, we used to do it this way. You know, back in the good old times, and they would sit there and they'd be stuck in the past. And they would struggle to move forward to where God is leading them. And folks, it's time to sing a new song, right? We sang it earlier. Right? God is taking you guys in a direction. And giving you a path to go that might be not like the good old days. Because God is moving you into a future, into the days to come. And so you're not going to let the past victories become stronger than your future vision. Do you hear that? You're not going to let your past victories become stronger than your future vision. Why? Because you're getting on board where God is taking you. And he's leading you somewhere. Your task is to follow him. So as you adopt this mission and you operate with these values, there's a vision that's cast for this church. What this church will look like down the road. And you know, there's a lot of mission statements or vision statements in Scripture. You know, if you think about it, Moses cast a vision for Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. As he's bringing them into the land. Of course, there's a story of Joshua and Caleb. I mean, I can talk to you about countless vision statements that are cast. In fact, Proverbs says, you know, without vision, the people will perish. And so for Church of the Valley, we're going to cast a vision for you. It's in your insert. I think it's on the back. It's somewhere in there. But I want to go ahead and read this with you. And it envisions what this church could look like as you seek to fulfill Jesus' great commission. Now, as I read this with you, remember Jesus' promise, right? That I will be with you even till the end of the age. Okay, so let me read this with you. When it comes to vision, it has been said that it is not about reality. It's not about reality or what currently exists. Vision is centered on our dreams, aspirations, and future possibilities. At Church of the Valley, we envision a church whose focus is on making disciples. We see a church where every ministry, every leader, every congregant is mission focused on declaring Christ and building believers into fully devoted followers of Him. We envision the sharing of the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ with the unchurched people in our relational worlds and our community. Through relational evangelism, we see those in our neighborhoods, our jobs, and in our homes coming to know the wonderful grace God has provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. We envision these new believers being built up through God's Word, which is exalted in authority, studied with expectation, taught with relevance, heard with anticipation, and obeyed with passion. We see preaching and teaching that is truthful, clear, engaging, and practical, serving as the foundation of all of our ministries. We envision our church being a place where God is worshiped joyfully and reverently, where the music is God-honoring and relevant, where corporate worship is an event that encourages believers and gets them excited about their relationship with God, where visitors can come and see the greatness of our God and the joyfulness of the Christian life. We envision our children and youth being nurtured in the faith. We see them being taught that through God's marvelous grace, they can have a secure love, a significant purpose, and a strong hope. We see them excited to come to church and eager to serve the Lord both within the church and outside at their schools. We see our people building meaningful relationships in our small groups. We see open, authentic relationships formed where burdens are shared, hearts are encouraged, and accountability is pursued so that believers grow into a mature, committed disciple of Christ. We envision the outreach ministries impacting the community in ways that brings glory and honor to our God. We see the love of Jesus revealed as we minister to those in our community, encouraging them to experience the restoration that can only come through Jesus Christ. We envision the believers who have been won, built, equipped, and developed in our church as disciple makers of Jesus Christ. We see them moving through our discipleship pathway from a lost to a reproducing disciple. This is our dream, a vision of what can be. Folks, that's the vision that's cast. But we cast it knowing that Jesus promises to be with you, to walk with you every step of the way into a healthy, thriving church that is faithfully pursuing its mission of declaring Christ and building believers. Father, we come before you adopting this mission that you have given us, Lord, and it seems like a daunting task. Lord, help us just to lean into that promise. Help us to lean into you. Lord, as you move us outwards, looking towards the future of what Church of the Valley can look like, Lord, it's exciting. It's so exciting to see what you're going to do. And Lord, I pray that everyone here, I pray that they all become mission focused, Lord, that they don't get sidetracked on other things. No matter what that is, Lord, I pray that they have a laser-like focus on that mission, Lord, because it is your mission. It is the great commission that you called us to do, Lord. And so you give us purpose. And Lord, it is a privilege that we get to be on board with that, that we get to be on board with where you're working, Lord. Because we don't want to be where you're not working. We want to be where you are working, Lord. And so, Lord, again, it's my prayer, Lord, that this mission statement becomes ingrained, becomes valued into the folks at Church of the Valley, Lord. So that we can bring you glory and that we can bring you honor as you continue to build your church, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name, by the power of the Spirit. Amen.